Before you start listening to this podcast, we've got a special subscription offer. You can get 12 issues of The Spectator for £12, which will give you full access to everything on our website, and we'll also throw in a free £20 Amazon voucher. Just go to spectator.co.uk/voucher if you'd like to get this offer.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, The Spectator's daily and today more than daily politics podcast. I'm Cindy Yu and I'm joined by Fraser Nelson and Katie Balls. So this morning, a shock statement. Sir Philip Rutnam, the former top civil servant at the Home Office, gave in his resignation. This is what he had to say.
I have this morning resigned as permanent secretary of the Home Office. I take this decision with great regret after a career of 33 years. I am making this statement now because I will be issuing a claim against the Home Office for constructive dismissal. In the last 10 days, I have been the target of a vicious and orchestrated briefing campaign. It has been alleged that I have briefed the media against the Home Secretary. This, along with many other claims, is completely false. The Home Secretary categorically denied any involvement in this campaign to the Cabinet Office. I regret I do not believe her.
Katie, we've known for days about the relationship deteriorating, but how extraordinary is this morning's move?
This is an extraordinary statement and intervention. I think to have a civil servant leaving their role in these circumstances is clearly not usual and is newsworthy, but to have them also go on the record and in doing that say they don't believe the Home Secretary in terms of the assurances on her role in defending them, or in this case apparently not defending him, I think you're getting to a point where it's clear that the relationship had completely broken down. And I think there are questions going forward as to how Priti Patel bounces back from this in terms of the civil servants that she still has to deal with, of which there are many in the Home Office.
Fraser, what's your reaction?
This is an extraordinary resignation. We have got a government supposedly in its honeymoon period, and yet, in the space of little more than 2 weeks, we've had the resignation of a Chancellor of the Exchequer and the Permanent Secretary of the Home Office. And their resignations are linked. Both of them are complaining about the style of this government, that you've got a very strong number 10 and a sort of no-nonsense approach to the civil service. You've also got, in Dominic Cummings, an advisor to the Prime Minister who has got a new modus operandi. It's very mission-based. This is what we want to do, and we're not putting up with any nonsense from the civil service or perhaps the Chancellor of the Exchequer and his aides. Now, when we look at this, we can see that Philip Rutnam has been the target of Tories for quite some time. I remember a couple of years ago, Sean Bailey, now the Tory mayoral candidate, was saying that Rutnam should have resigned for his role in the Windrush debacle. And that was a situation where the Home Office bureaucrats, the civil service, had presided over a deplorably inhumane way of basically threatening British people with deportation because they didn't have the right papers. It was a system failure, but that didn't make it any less horrific for the people involved. Now, when that happened, you had a lot of Tories saying, look, sure, it's right that Amber Rudd as Home Secretary lost her job ultimately because of a Duff civil service briefing. They told her that there was no target for deportations. In fact, there was. She took the view that if a Home Secretary makes a mistake like that, they should resign. A lot of Tories said at the time, well, what about the chief civil servant, the guy who presided over this hostile environment and all of the mistakes which led to the Windrush deportations? Shouldn't he have to resign? And you've had this quite a lot. So the resignation of this particular civil servant is something which I don't think will upset too many Conservatives. They might think it's overdue. In fact, there was a briefing, a government source, a few days ago saying that in any ordinary company, Philip Rutnam wouldn't just resign, but he'd lose his pension as well for the mishandling of the department. And it's funny that although he was denying he was the source of his briefings, his on-the-record criticism of the Home Secretary, Priti Patel, exactly matches the off-the-record briefing we've had from civil servants over the last few days.
Katie, do you think we could see more civil servants speaking out? We've heard before about a short list of three top civil servants who the government want to target.
Yes, I do think we will see more civil servants speaking out, but I still think most of that is going to be anonymous quotes. Ultimately, what's happened and what Rutland refers to in his statement is the fact that over the past 10 days, there has been a briefing war that has got completely out of hand, really on both sides. And Rutland's claiming that he had never had a role in this. He's saying he doesn't believe Priti Patel, and she says she doesn't have a role in this. But what we do know is the fact that Boris Johnson and the Cabinet Secretary this week tried to get a lid on this. We had a joint statement on Sunday from Priti Patel and Philip Rutland saying that despite what was reported in the press, which now turns out, I think Rutland is suggesting that he sees a lot of truth in terms of their relationship, they were planning to work together and they didn't recognise many of the allegations. I think that his departure, he is in many ways a divisive civil servant, as Fraser touched on. If you look at Rutland's record in the Home Office, part because the Home Office is such a large department with so many difficult issues to address, he is someone who many people do not think is the highest performing civil servant, and I don't think it's just Tory ministers who hold that view. But I do think the way this has happened, the way this has been borne out, means that you're seeing this friction between the government and the civil servant, which is only increasing. Now, we know there was a hit list in terms of other permanent secretaries that the government and Number 10 are said to have an issue with. I understand that as a general rule, that rather you didn't have these high profile resignations and, as we expect now, a lawsuit. But I do think that when you're looking at the end of the terms, so for example, when, as we have a few of the permanent secretaries that apparently are not in Number 10's good books, the idea being that when they finish their term, say by the summer, they would just move on to a different department rather than stay there. I think I get the sense that's still the way that the government would prefer to move people on, rather than having a story like this, which is just going to lead the headlines and stoke up some bad will across the civil service towards the government.
Fraser, how damaging could this exit by Philip Rutland be to, firstly, Priti Patel, and secondly, to the government's reputation?
I don't think it's so damaging to her, simply because so many MPs are on her side. They might wonder why she is being accused of bullying when John Reid, who was a very robust Home Secretary under a Labour government, was just as tough with the civil service. So tough, he actually broke up the Home Office in two. He was pretty rude about it. He used the phrase "not fit for purpose" to describe the chunks of the Home Office he didn't think were working.
But could there be a difference in the way that they're doing things? I mean, Sir Philip Rutland said this about Priti Patel.
I have received allegations that her conduct has included shouting and swearing, belittling people, making unreasonable and repeated demands, behaviour that created fear and needed some bravery to call out.
So Fraser, could Priti Patel be doing this in a much more personal and aggressive way than perhaps previous reformers have?
Well, I suspect this isn't the first time that shouting and swearing has been deployed by a Secretary of State in order to convey a message. This happens in government, and when you think how many people are focusing, who are counting on you in government, you ought to insist on very high standards. Now, a lot of people might think that if there had been more shouting and swearing at a time where the Home Office was going about threatening British people with deportation in the Windrush scandal, then there might not have been a Windrush scandal. So again, is this such a damning allegation to make against a Home Secretary? She could say, well, look, I'm carrying out the agenda of a democratically elected government. I'm just doing my job. And if people don't like that, well, that's tough because standards need to be high. There was also a line in Putnam's resignation statement that really jumped out at me. He was saying that it's his job to protect the health, safety and well-being of our 35,000 people. Now, it's a pretty strange thing to make out as if the government's agenda is at odds with the health and safety of the civil servants. That sounds like a political disagreement to me. And it's very strange language to use. I'm not quite sure, however ill-tempered Priti Patel might have been in meetings with her chief civil servant, it could have that much implications on the health and safety of 35,000 civil servants. So again, I'm not sure he's chosen that ground particularly well.
We heard this week that the Prime Minister, you know, had full faith in Priti Patel and thought that she should continue in her role and was not doubting it. And I don't think the departure of Ratnam is going to change that in terms of how Number 10 views her position. But I do think in the long term, your job is much harder if all your civil servants are against you. Now, we don't know if that is the case with everyone in the Home Office, but there clearly is such a friction that I think that if things get difficult in the future, if you potentially have something go wrong, you want these people to be working towards helping you there. And I think this is creating a difficult environment for Priti Patel in that sense. I think it's also worth remembering that if you look at Priti Patel's closest aides, she's actually had quite a lot of people move recently. So her special advisors in the Home Office, some were moved in the reshuffle, some left before that. So I think there's a question as to how is her current operation working, and does she have the people around her that she needs? Because you are having changes, and at the same time now having this happen on top of it. So I don't think in terms of her position politically she will be in trouble from this to such a degree in terms of Number 10, but I do think in terms of just day-to-day doing her job, this creates more hurdles.
I'll tell you what Boris Johnson will be thinking after this. He will be dismayed. He doesn't like these blow-ups. He does not agree in the sort of creative destruction form of governments here. It's not his style. He was depressed enough when Sajid Javid resigned. He didn't quite expect the blow up to happen in that way. And of course, it is obvious to everybody that this is a pretty bad way of going about your business. Regardless whose side you're on, it is a very bad look for the government to be losing very senior civil servants in this manner. Coming up suing the government with allegations of harassment and bullying, there must have been a better way to handle this, and it seemed as if there wasn't. Now, again, we're in an extraordinary period of history. We still haven't left the European Union properly. There's a negotiation to do. Priti Patel wants to completely redo border rules. She wants to get no-deal preparations. You might argue that now is the time for being short and abrupt, because there isn't much time left. As a matter of, there's only a few weeks to go, really, until the government wants to come up with a Brexit deal and no-deal preparations are needed. So her behaviour could be justified in that way. But then again, there absolutely must have been a better way of handling it than what we've just seen.
And I think just very briefly, on the bullying allegations, obviously you have Ratnam referencing in this idea again, which has been in some reports that he's alleging that she is in a way an abusive boss. I think there is a sense across government that if you look at other figures, such as, for example, Dominic Cummings, and lots of people say, oh, he's very tough with the people he speaks to. So I think a general suggestion that secretaries of state and government officials are being tough with civil servants, the response would just be, well, they need to get stuff done, as Fraser touches on, there's a limited time. I think if specific allegations come up, you know, people come forward, that will change the picture. But I think while it is just a general sense that the person is perhaps a bit disruptive, it is not going to have the effect that it could if it were more specific.
I think this would have been a lot more problematic if it was a department other than the Home Office. Because let's face it, the Home Office is the single most dysfunctional department of government, or certainly widely regarded as being. And memories of Windrush are still very fresh. Now, the Windrush debacle was a classic example of what happens if a bureaucracy carries on in an inhumane way and forgets what it's supposed to be doing, serving the people of this country. The British public were in no way served by having people who've given their lives to this country interrogated by the Home Office, told that they needed documents to prove that they lived here in all these various ways, threatened with deportation. It was a dreadful way of, it's probably one of the worst failures of government that I can think of in recent years. Now, it was right that a cabinet member, Amber Rudd, took the rap for that. But let's face it, she didn't set up that system. That was Theresa May, and nor did she carry out the policy. The person who was in charge of the machine was Philip Ratnam. He is the man who has now resigned. And I think the government might be able to say, well, if we are going to do better, if we are going to hold the government to higher standards to better serve the people of this country, then we do need to be pretty curt with permanent secretaries who preside over failure, and pretty clear that these standards aren't going to be accepted from now on.
Can Katie and Fraser, thanks very much. And you can read the full transcript of Philip Rutnam's resignation statement on Coffee House this morning, as well as more coverage from the team. Thanks for listening, and join us again next time.